If you would take out your study tonight on our study of continue our personal discipleship journey. And we do have some handouts, I do believe, so the men are getting those ready. So I'm looking for them to step in. But when if you need a handout, hang on just in a moment. We'll take this pretty quickly. As you know, it's already 8 o'clock, which I'm happy about. I wanted to hear this man and what God is doing there in that. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 1. Over there in the Old Testament, Joshua, in this portion of Scripture, this is the only time you find the word success. And of course, the word success is a big word in our society. Big word. And Miss Bev, do we have handouts? Okay. I guess they're counting the money. One of our men, could you check and see if we can get our handouts for the study that we're doing tonight? Brother Allen, would you check on that for me? And I think there's some coming in. Yeah. Joshua chapter 1, look at verse 8. This is a great, great verse. I remember memorizing this while I was a student in a Christian school years ago. Great verse, one worth memorizing. This book of the law, referring to the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The condition here for success, prosperity. And by the way, that's more than money. It can involve money, but it's a lot more than riches. You think about how prosperous would you like your family to be, your marriage to be, your church to be. By the way, if you'd like to have a handout, raise your hand real quickly. Just up. There we go. Thank you. These men are coming back behind you, and they've got a handout for you. You can fill in the blanks as we study tonight. But a couple of, requirements would be in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It has to be a part of your life. And he says, meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. In other words, if I'm going to do the word of God, it's then going to require a commitment of embracing and meditating on a daily basis. You know, it says day and night. It gives you the idea of 24 hours. It is the daily pursuit. Make sure your Bible understands a daily interaction with you. Your Bible should be worn out. You're going to have to get another one soon. Why? Because it's a daily book. Daily book. Unless it was made out of stainless steel, it's not going to last that long. Your forks and your spoons and your knives, you've probably had a few years. But that's stainless steel, silver. If you're like Brother Peter, it's probably solid gold. But seriously, though, your utensils are made out of enduring metal. But that's not the case, but it's a daily instrument, right? It's a daily instrument. Your Bible's got to be a daily instrument. And make sure you understand that for it to have the effect of success in your life. Let's look at this together. Page 122, number one, hear the Bible consistently. These are the requirements. Hear it consistently. And then we said last time, meditate on it continually. Got to meditate on it. And we talked about what we mean by that and how important that is. The ideal of meditation is don't let it go into one ear and out another. Don't just read over it. If anything, read it like you know you've got a big test the very next day. You're really taking in. I remember our teacher growing up, you had the same experience. She said, now what I'm about to tell you is going to be exactly on the test. That's when you sit up in your chair. You knew if you paid attention and got this down, you're going to be ready for the test. That is more than letting it go in one ear and out the other. So if you're going to let God's word transform your heart and mind in action, you've got to meditate on these things. Now, one of great discipline that is good for every Christian, especially in this matter of meditation, is begin, and here's the word you need to fill in, memorizing. Write that down, memorizing scripture so that you have it available to think on. How can you meditate on the Bible throughout the day if you don't remember what it said? Memorize the Bible. Memorize the Bible. There's much that can be said about that, but memorization is so important, and I hope you have done some of that. It's a discipline. It takes hard work. The older you get, they say it becomes more difficult. But let me tell you where you're probably going to be more apt to memorize the Bible. Okay, let me tell you where. It's going to be when you're struggling. And you've got a problem or the devil's hitting you hard on a certain area. Could be the area of anger. Could be the area. Now watch this. This happens to a lot of our ladies. Happens to anyone, but I think predominantly with our ladies. You could be worrying needlessly. Worry's a sin. But you struggle genuinely with it. All right. Memorization is going to come more of a part of your life when you recognize a true struggle, spiritual struggle, and you think to yourself, how am I going to defeat this? When you get across a particular struggle, that's when you need to consider memorization. Number one, you're sick and tired of the problem. It always keeps you defeated. Devil's got the leverage on you. You hear a good sermon on Sunday, red hot. You're under conviction. And you're thinking to yourself, I've got to turn things around. When you get to that point, I want to tell you, the very next step that's going to really help you overcome those sins, overcome those setbacks and tools out of the devil's toolbox, the way you're going to overcome that is by memorization. You say, what do you mean? Take the area that you're struggling with. Let's just take, for instance, worry. Take that area, go to your Bible, go to your concordance in the back of your Bible, look up that word. Look up the word anxiety. Look up the word fear. Those are all synonyms. Fear, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Right there, I'm going to memorize that verse. I'm going to claim that verse. The next time the devil throws a fear at me and I find myself collapsing, I'm going to think to my mind, God, that spirit is not from you. For God hath not given us that spirit of fear. God, you do not use fear to intimidate me, to make me do good. So you're thinking about that because you got the verse memorized. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And here's what you do. I've memorized that. I'm quoting that now to my mind as I'm walking from office to office, and I say it this way, Lord, would you give me that sound mind? It is from you, God. You said you give it. Would you give it to me? And you make that a prayer. And you memorize and you meditate on that verse, and you know what's going to happen when the devil pulls out his tricks? You fire right back with Scripture. And you don't realize, but there is a spiritual battle going on that your weapon is the Word of God. It's your sword. If you don't pull that sword out, you're vulnerable. So when are you going to memorize Scripture? As soon as you admit, this is my problem and God, I got to have help. Then you're going to find yourself every morning, every night, just going over that verse, saying it again and again. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God, you love me. God, you got power available for me. And Lord, would you give me that sound mind? Those are the times. If you look on page, would you take your book? Now, with a handout, you don't have this, but would you turn to page 309. It's the Appendix C in your Bible study book there. 309. It gives you all of the subject areas that you could be facing. Addictions, anger, apathy. Maybe assurance of salvation is a big battleground for you. The matter of authority. Oh, look at page 310. Bitterness. Oh, a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians are battling bitterness. God has convicted them over it, and they've said no. By the way, your Christian life is absolutely stuck, and you're not going anywhere. But most Christians who are stuck, they're stuck exactly the place where they told God no. Go back where you told God no. That's where you're still stuck. You can't go on until you say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But if you've said no, you're still stuck there. And a lot of folks are stuck on bitterness. They've told God no because I've got a right to be bitter. And you've just hurt yourself. So you go to that section here, and you see that word bitterness. There's your verses. And you say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I've actually heard people say, I'm struggling with bitterness. I've had it in my life for over 40 years. And I'm so now addicted. I don't think they use the word addicted, but they said, I've been disliking and hating this person for so long, I don't want to get rid of it. For 40 years I've had bitterness, and I don't want to let it go. It's almost like an addiction. I've had people to say that, heard them say that. And they don't want to let, now they're going to have help. Where are they going to get the help to do that? They're going to go to God's Word, find out what God says about it, and start claiming and memorizing those scriptures. And so you have them all there. What about the area of dating? That's interesting. The Bible has some things to say about that. Especially our relationship. Area of forgiveness. Area of friends. Some of you are hurting tonight because you feel like you don't have real friends. The Bible addresses that. The Bible even gives you a key on how to have friends. Memorize those verses. That's where memorization is going to come into your life. Now, page 123, we're going to wrap it up here in about 3 minutes. Study it regularly. Study is the word you want to write in there. Study it regularly. In addition to your Bible reading, church attendance where you hear the Word of God being preached, and your Bible memory, here it is now. You're going to come across times in your life, areas of confusion. You ever been confused about an area of your life, or maybe confused about a story in the Bible? I witnessed to a woman about 3 weeks ago in the hospital waiting room, surgical waiting room, and I began to witness to her, and one of the first things she said to me is she said, I don't understand this that I see in the Old Testament. And she began to give me a hang-up. We all face them. We all have them. There are times that life just doesn't make sense. What does the Bible say about that? And here's what's going to happen. There are going to be times you're going to need to study. You're going to need to study. You're going to get your Bible out. You're going to have to get your spiral notebook out. And you're going to have to start finding out what God has said about this subject. I had a challenge the other day. It was a challenge of someone, I'm not going to go into it because it's personal, but I'm not to me, but to the one I'm helping. It was a real struggle. And I just sat in my office and I began to think through it. God, what have you said about this subject? And folks, if you'll go to your concordance and look up words, areas that would lead you to that subject, maybe it's a subject, why do Christians suffer? God has a definitive answer for that. And He's got comforting words for that as well. And you can go and make it a study, why Christians suffer. By the time you're studying your Bible, you ought to be the guest lecturer at the next Sunday school class because you're ready. Why? You have studied the Bible. Why is it that most Sunday school teachers will say to you, I really began to grow when they gave me that class to teach? They started studying. And here's my thought to you and my challenge to you. If you're struggling with something, what would you do if you had a genuine struggle? Do you not go to an expert? Do you not go to a friend that you've got confidence in and say, what do you think I ought to do about that? I call up my staff many times. I'll call up TJ and say, TJ, I had this question come up. I have this concern. What do you think about it? What do you think about it? I'll go to people that I've got confidence in. I have confidence in Brother TJ. I've got confidence in a lot, most of my staff. And I'll call them, I'll bring them in. Sometimes we bring them all in, sit around the table. But I want to hear, what have we done about this? And what can we do better? What are you doing? You're looking for answers, right? Today I had an eye problem. I'm not talking spiritual. I'm talking my eye. Actually, was swollen again. I've had that problem, and the some kind of a staph infection got into my eye this morning. It was all this stuff. Well, immediately got an appointment. Went to the eye doctor. He put the microscope, you know, that thing that looks in there. Yep, that's what you've got. Look at there. And he starts talking about my eye. Of course, I'm like, you know, and he's telling me all about my eye. And he gave me the medicine that I needed. What am I saying? I went to an expert. Now, you go to these men and these women that are experts. Why? They've studied. They've studied. When you come to the area of the Bible, go to the experts. Go to the Bible. God is the authority on the every subject. Learn to study your Bible. If you need help with that, see your pastor. I'll be happy to point you in the right direction. If you're saying, well, I want to buy this certain commentary, I've heard a lot about it on the radio. Pastor, what do you think? I can pretty much tell you what camps they're going to be in, what you're going to have to watch for. There's always bones you got to pick out when you're eating spiritual fish from preachers on the radio. That makes sense. You pick the bones out when you eat fish and chicken, right? All right, so preachers being chicken eaters, they're good at bone picking, right? So I can pretty much tell you the bones you'll have to pick out. Things that'll help you. And that's because the Lord's called me into this business. I'm a shepherd. Shepherd knows how to, should know how, where to feed the flock. And so I will be happy to help you. If you say, this certain preacher is one of my favorite preachers. Preacher, what do you think? I'll be happy to share with you what I think. I'll tell you his strong points. I'll tell you his weak points. I'll tell you where a lot of times he gets away from the Bible. I can tell you a lot of times where they're right spot on. Not that I'm always the authority, but here's the thing. God's put me as your shepherd. And you know what God's going to probably do in that I'm your shepherd? He's going to help me shepherd you. That's what he's going to do. I don't have all the answers. I'll sure go look for them if I don't know them. But I will say this. God has entrusted me, and he will enable me. He'll help me with these things. He'll give me ideas and ways to point you in the right direction. That is what a shepherd does. And I do want to go back online or back on statement here to say, I don't have all the answers, but I'll sure help you with the truth and get you there. And so will any of our Sunday school teachers, staff, my wife, others. When you study the Bible, keep this in mind too. Learn to cross-reference. Learn to cross. If you find many of your Bibles are cross-referencing Bibles, if not, look in your concordance and find that, say it's suffering. Look where the Bible talks about suffering and look them up and learn in context. Let's read a few verses before and after and find out, what does God say about suffering? What can I learn about it? And with your spiral notebook, make yourself notes and say, Lord, help me to learn this. Number three, not only ask your pastor, not only do cross-referencing, but ask the Holy Spirit. He is your true teacher. More than I am. He is your true teacher. He will guide you in truth. That is his job and your place of honor to have him as your teacher. Number four, keep in mind this. Don't be fooled. I don't know why I wrote this down. Maybe it's going to help somebody tonight. Don't be fooled by the impressive unknown or mysteries. For some reason, we get caught up in the deep, mysterious stuff about the Bible and the unknowns that we think we've discovered. And if you're not careful, you'll say this. And sometimes people mean well. Whenever I preach a sermon, they'll say, I've never heard that before. I'm always a little nervous when they say that to me, because I don't want to be that kind of preacher. Especially for someone who comes regularly. I would rather hear, I needed to hear that again. Thank you, preacher. That's what I like hearing. Not, I've never heard that before. Now, granted, if it's a young Christian, they're new in the church, I'm probably going to hear that. That's normal. But if you've been saved for any number of years growing the Lord and you hear me preaching some crazy weird stuff, then question me about it, because I may be getting offline. It should not be that way. I'm not to impress people by bringing out the unknown. I'll tell you, sound preaching. Sound preaching is that which agrees with your spirit, and you know that is in the Bible crystal clear. The Bible has not been written to contain deep mysteries only for the super elite theologian. The Bible has been written for you. Can I say that again? This book has not been designed by God to contain deep mysteries for only the super elite theologian. Now, are there deep subjects in the Bible? Yes. So deep you'll never get to the bottom. And we not have a satisfactory answer until we get to heaven. Oh, there's deep ones in there. There's no doubt about it. But it's written for you, for your understanding, for your obedience, for your knowledge of God. And so study the Bible. You'll need to study it when you come across areas of confusion and challenges. Take that subject and say, now, Lord, guide me. The last one, a couple ones here real quickly. On page 123, apply it faithfully. Apply it faithfully. And then the last one we have here in James chapter 1. You are to read it, hear it, memorize it, meditate it, study it, but do not neglect to obey, is the word you need there. Obey it. If you look at your last ones, and I want to help you with all of these, we'll come back to it later. Looks like we've got out of time. Very good. Well, I went over time. I am so, so sorry. And may the Lord bless us and encourage us in our Bible study. Let's study the Word of God and let's memorize it. Father in heaven, thank you for our time tonight. It's been good to hear from our missionary. It's been good to hear from the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that we would make this a daily book in our lives. Have there been days we've missed? I'm sure, Lord, sure. But Lord, may it be a daily book where we just get in there and say, Lord, speak to me. And where there may be struggles, where there may be areas Satan seems to have a foothold, may we get in there and memorize those verses that set us free, and God give the victory. In your precious and holy name we pray, amen. Thank you. God bless you. You're at liberty to go. Missionaries, would you head back to the back of your table, our dear family and Nolan family, and as they make their way back, you be sure to greet them. And our visitors. Make sure all the visitors know they're welcome. God bless you. You're at liberty.